Shalom, saints, and welcome to Daily Devotion. Shall we turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 13, we go down to 14. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. And as we look at this topic of vanity and vanities, we realize that here's a situation where the children of Israel were faced with a very serious dilemma. But in as much as it looked serious, it looked difficult, it looked complicated, to God it was not. Now, in looking at the word vanity, other definitions of the word say it's a quality of being worthless or futile. If it's an object that is worthless, it means it has no value. You may have something in your hands that you expect something from it, but you find that it does not give you what you expect. It does not provide what you're supposed to have. Futile. You may have a garden, you may have a plant, a tree. You can tend to that tree, you can wait patiently for years for its fruit, but it turns out not to have any fruit. That means whatever you did was in vain. Whatever you did was vanity. Despite energy being wasted, despite effort put in, despite resources being put in, but the result is worthless. The result is futile, futility. It is an exercise in futility, which means it's vanity. It was as good as not even doing it. It's like the man the Lord Jesus said that wanted to build a house, but he did not count the cost. And what happened was, he started building that house, but that house did not go anywhere. It was not completed, meaning it couldn't even be inhabited. It was not habited despite resources going there. Now, the children of Israel, here they were in the face of terror. They were seeing Egyptians. They were seeing bondage all around them. They were seeing terror all around them. They were seeing fear all around them. They were seeing despair all around them. But God was not seeing it. And if it's a person standing from afar and observing this scenario, one would be tempted to say, which side at this point would you have chosen? It would have been easy to say, I would have chosen to be on the side of the Egyptians, not the side of the Israelites, because we knew that the Israelites were going to be annihilated. That is as far as our eyes can see. That is as far as your eyes can see. As the Bible says, as children of God, we do not walk by sight. If you are a believer and you are tempted to walk by sight, to do things by sight, you are bound for disaster. You are bound for frustration. You are bound for failure. Because the way you walk is not the way the children of the world walk. You can have two people doing the same project, doing the same work. But if you're a child of God, and if God's will is not in there, you've not sought his face, you have not let him to guide you, it doesn't matter how many years, your investment, your effort, your power, your whatever you've put in, it doesn't matter how long it is, but it is all coming to futility. It is all going to amount up to nothing. Why? Because God doesn't work the way man works. And the Bible says he has taken the wise things of this world and made them look like foolish. And he has revealed his word to babes. He has revealed it to the uneducated. Look at Peter. Look at the Apostle Peter. Look at the disciples. Look at Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says he was of no reputation. A man without reputation can hardly be recognized. The eyes despise such a man. You know, psychologically, we human beings are very funny. When we see a respectable person, a well-to-do person, maybe he's visiting us, even the way we receive that person, psychologically, we give him honor. But a poor person, someone who has got nothing, someone who is nothing, we cannot recognize it. I'm going to tell you a testimony of what happened here. I may have shared it some time back. You know, after we had the crusade here in Chatama, there were so many people that came around. 600 souls came around, and it was ecstatic. It was wonderful. It was a blessed time of fellowship and of revival and of deliverance. And after the meetings were over, we started gathering the new converts, the new believers. And I remember we didn't even have any structure. We didn't have a shelter. So we were just gathering outside. We'll just sit and put a mat and then have fellowship. Now, I remember the very first meeting I had with the people. There were a number of believers who were gathered. There were a number of these people, the new converts. And we had to ask each one their experience was with the crusade, what blessed them, what left an impression on their heart. And everyone was able to narrate. Everyone was able to tell us on how God touched them, on how they felt after they were baptized, how they've thrown away the cigarettes. Now, there's one man. He was the last one to speak. Now, this man, he was looking old. He was looking tired. He was looking worn out. He was looking unkempt, scruffy. So he was the last one to talk, and he was actually struggling to talk. And he said, I used to be a Roman Catholic. I used to go to Roman Catholic Church, but I thank God that he has delivered me. You know, he just spoke like that. And when we looked at him, we thought, I remember with the brothers, and even my wife was there after the service, I said, that man still needs help. I think God still needs to touch his life. He still needs to be delivered. That's what we said. He still needs to be delivered. And, well, time passed by. Now, it was exciting because people were coming. Those who were very much known in the neighborhood, news went around that they were converted. And then this man, he would come to the service. He was coming. But he was always in the background. He's a man you can't recognize. You know, he's more like a loner. He's always in the background. He's very quiet. And what happened is, as time went on, those who started with excitement, those who started, some of them were tired, some of them were giving up. But I noticed this man, we were not even noticing him. But there was something that was happening in his life. And we didn't know. I mean, we took it. He's just one of those people who came for the crusade anyway. People come for so many reasons. And then, one time I was working. We were just cleaning the churchyard, and then we were doing work. And then there was this other strange fellow, a very energetic man. And I think he's in his late 40s. To early 50s, very energetic man, and he was carrying a hoe and an axe. He was going to do some work somewhere, and then he came early in the morning. He was coming. He had some alcohol in his hands. Then he said, "Where is the pastor? Where are these people? Where are the church people? These people who are doing the work?" So I was surprised. So he says, "Can you also do something to me? What you did to that man? What trick did you perform on his life for him to be changed?" So I was wondering, I said, which man is this? He says, what you did to my uncle, I want you to do to my life also. because that man was a dead dog. He was a useless dog. Now, I couldn't understand what he was saying. Now, later on, I learned that that brother, before he got baptized, before he received Christ, he was a drunkard and he would drink himself and then he would felt walk. He would mess himself up and mostly had a problem where he would start fitting after that problem. He would start fitting, goes into a fit, and that is why he was always looking like light-headedness whenever he wanted to speak. So I said, oh my. Says, what you did with him? So I thought, ah, it's one of those things. So after some days, another deaf foot, the man came, saying the same thing. Now, little did we know that this man's life was affecting them because he stopped alcohol, he stopped smoking, he stopped all those habits. And the fitting problem stopped. So now, he was actually becoming... Now, we started noticing the way he was looking like. He was looking different. He had gained weight. He started looking younger than he was. He started smiling. He never used to smile. He was approachable. So I was wondering, he said, oh my, something happened to this man for real. Now, it did not end there. That man who was coming for the testimony has a wife. And the very wife was seeing the life of that man. So at one time when we visited the man, the wife was saying, no, I also want to come and visit your fellowship. I really want to come for prayers. She never came. As time went on, the testimony of that brother was affecting them. So the wife of that man started coming to church until she received the word of God and she got baptized. And she's been with us. She's a consistent sister. She's been in the service. She's been in the fellowship. I was surprised to say, using my eyes, I was seeing one of those faces in the crowd. But God was not seeing that. God was seeing his vessel. We were looking at things based on our eyes, based on our sight, but God doesn't work like that. And we are looking at another incident where we see the story of David. We read from 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I'll send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Okay, I want us to skip to a point where he starts choosing the children. Okay, verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, Samuel was looking at things based on his sight. He looked at the age. He looked at the body build of Eliab. He looked at him being the firstborn, him being the oldest. He was very sure that was the man the Lord had chosen in his life. But brothers and sisters, the Lord doesn't work like that. It doesn't matter whether you are looking at investments, whether you are looking at education, whatever, whether you are looking at family, you want to have a partner, whatever you are looking for, whether you are in ministry, the first thing is seek the Lord. Go down to the altar. Let your eyes of faith come to life. Let your eyes of the flesh die. Don't look at life with your eyes. Don't. They'll deceive you. They'll deceive you. Many men and many women have made mistakes. They want to find a life partner. They are using their eyes. They are attracted by glamour, by what they see, by the stupidity on TV, by the modernism. They are looking at a woman based on what Hollywood has defined to them. Brothers and sisters, when you get that thing, it will be like an arrow piercing through your liver. And when you make that mistake, brothers and sisters, you cannot undo it. It is a scar that you will live with. It is a scar that you will die with. But God is telling you, seek the Lord. But so many women, so many men are so stubborn. They are so disobedient until they get into the institution of marriage and you see that what the devil was making you to see is not there. 2 years, 3 months down the line, you are tired of the marriage. You are tired of the union. Why? Because you were using your eyes. You were using your ideas. But seek the Lord. Because the Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as the man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Brothers and sisters, he looks on the heart, your intentions. Why do you do what you do? Is it to please your pastor? Is it to make an impression? Is it to find a partner? Seek the Lord. Go down on your knees and pray and seek the Lord. That is what God wants. He's going to make a way. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter the money you lose. It doesn't matter. Seek the Lord. Samuel was still looking with his eyes. And 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. So now Samuel is worried. Even the second born is not chosen. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Some sisters, who is going to marry me? They get desperate. Who is going to marry me? There's no brother around. If there's no brother around, the Lord will create a brother from heaven for you. Seek the Lord. And Samuel said unto Jesse, and here are all, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Amen. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal, of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And he said, arise, anoint him, for he is he. And that's how David was anointed. So brothers and sisters, God doesn't look at what you look at. He doesn't see what you see. The very thing that you reject, the very thing that is despised, that is where life is. Look at this message, it's despised. Look at our sisters, they are despised. But that is where Jesus, that is the bride of Jesus Christ. That is the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a shame, brothers and sisters. We want to be like the world. We want to dress like the world. We want to do our hairstyles like the world, brothers and sisters. It's a shame. But we have a gospel. And brothers and sisters, let's hold it on. May we not behold vanity. The Lord literally bless you. Bless you. Amen.